So Revelation chapter 7, and we're teaching on Revelation on Wednesday nights, and then you're dealing with it in your life groups as well. And thank God we have 17 life groups going on right now, and that's great. Amen. Almost 200 adults involved in life groups. So we're really thankful about that, because that's really where life change can happen, and that's really to be the main vehicle of revelation. I mean, of discipleship in our church. Revelation is just so much on my brain, I'm speaking it here. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Can we say amen? What an interesting verse to preach from, right? What's happening here, and I took a lot of time with this in the early service. I don't want to here. I want to try to just cut to the chase. But what is happening in the book of Revelation is you've had several different visions of John the Revelator. Number one, in chapter 1, he has this vision of Jesus among the candelabras, and Jesus tells him, write this letter to seven churches, or letters to seven churches. So he dictates these letters of Jesus to seven churches. That's chapters 2 and 3. We come to chapters 4 and 5. It's another vision he has of the throne room of God. And in that vision, he sees the throne, he describes all of that, and then he sees what he calls a lamb coming to the throne and taking a scroll out of the one, being God, who sat on the throne. Okay, and I preached about this last week, the lamb being the only one worthy. Then, in chapter 6, we see the lamb begin unloosing the seals on this scroll. This scroll had seven seals. And he began unloosing the seals on this scroll. And it, with each seal, now remember, this is all prophetic. This is heavy symbolism. So with each seal that was unloosed, something happened. The first seal he takes off, he sees a white horse. And he sees a white horse coming with a rider, with a bow in his hand, like a, you know, bow and arrow thing. And he's given power to conquer. Then he loosens another seal. And he sees another horse. This time the horse is red. And this horse and its rider is given power to take peace from the earth, or basically establish war, or loose war on the earth. Then he unloosens another seal. And he sees another rider. This rider is black. And this rider really brings poverty or famine with him. And then another seal is loosed, and he sees a pale green horse. The term in Greek is chloros, where we get like chlorine. It's a pale green. And this pale green horse comes, and he is called death. And hell follows behind him. So it's like, wow, man, okay. We have conquest, war, famine and poverty, and death and hell. All four horsemen, as they're known, four horsemen of the apocalypse. So, the question is, when is this happening? Is this totally in the future? Is this the beginning of the tribulation period that we believe is coming on the earth? Or is this some kind of vision of history he's having? Well, all those are questions I'm not going to answer. But if you come on Wednesday night, we'll drill down a little further on those. But let's look at it from John's perspective. You're in the early church. You're living in Asia Minor in 65 AD or 75 AD or 95 AD, what would this mean to you? Well, to the early church, they really viewed it, from what I'm reading from the fathers of the early church, they really viewed it as the Roman Empire and the conquest and battle and oppression that they were under. Now, we believe it has a futuristic fulfillment as well, but we'll save that for later. So then the next seal he loosens, he sees another view of heaven. And in this view of heaven, he sees the souls of all of these Christians who have been killed for their faith. They're called martyrs. And it's again in symbolic fashion and it's prophetic. And he sees them, he says, under the altar of God. Now the altar was the place where blood was spilled and sacrifices were made. So I think there's a prophetic significance that the martyrs were there at the place of sacrifice. Also, the altar was in close proximity to the throne of God, meaning the martyrs are close to God. Then he unloosens, that's the fifth seal. Then he unloosens the sixth seal, and it's absolute catastrophe, catastrophic devastation. It's apocalyptic, it's end time, it's world coming to an end stuff. You read that sixth seal, it's islands moved out of their place. Earthquake moves mountains. Stars fall from heaven to earth. Men run to the rocks and caves and cry for the rocks to fall on them to escape the wrath of the Lamb, they call it. So it's like all of these successive judgment type events end up in a culmination of complete catastrophe. Wasn't that, aren't you, are you encouraged yet? Then we turn to chapter 7 and we have something completely different. It's a parenthesis. It's a pause and we see some other complete different vision. And in this vision, he sees 144,000 people. He says they're all Jews. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 means at completion. There's something prophetic symbolic going on, I think, here. But nonetheless, it's completion and perfection. And he says, and these guys, the angels, held back the winds and said, don't harm anything until these guys have been sealed. And then we see later on in chapter 9, later on at the end of the book, talks about those who have been sealed. It talks about the seal of God being on their forehead. So I began asking, Lord, what is this seal? First of all, in Revelation, what does it mean? Secondly of all, I see it in other places in the New Testament besides Revelation. And I'm not saying they're the same thing, but I'm thinking they're the same thing. And that is, every Christian is sealed. Every Christian is sealed by God. What in the world does that mean? Well, Let's try to figure it out here. Every Christian is sealed by God. First of all, Christians are sealed when they come through conversion and what we just saw happening. Christians are sealed, I think, by the Holy Spirit as an act of conversion. We come to Christ and we are converted or born again, and it's an act of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. When you are born again, there's a sealing that happens of your life. You are taken out of the world and you're placed in the kingdom of God. You're taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of light. You're no longer part of the world system. You've now, this is what Revelation is about. It's we're not part of the Babylon fallen world system. We're part of the New Jerusalem kingdom. And that's what it means to serve Christ. There's a difference in the life of a believer. We think differently. We act differently. We behave differently. Why? We've been sealed. We've been set apart and sealed unto God. It means something to be saved. Being saved and being a Christian isn't just this easy believism that, oh yeah, I believe in the Lord, sure. Has it changed your life? Well, no, but I was raised a Christian. Well, then maybe you're not saved. Because to be saved means to be born again. There's been a transformation in you. Something has happened. Forgive me. But it's hard for me to understand people who just like just grow cold. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect and all that. No, I've had my huge struggles. But yet, I mean, I want to serve God. I love Him, man. If none of y'all were here, I want to come and have church all by myself. I preach to myself, give myself an offering, and then sing some songs to myself. I would just, because I just love God. I want to do it, you know. Me and Jackie, we got a night free. We'll often go hear somebody preach. And I know people are thinking, are y'all crazy? Don't you get enough of this? Well, no, I don't really. Why? Because I've been changed. I'm not who I was before. I've got a different spiritual thing going on that I didn't have before in my life because I've been sealed by God. Amen. Second thing I think the sealing deals with is there's a sealing of identity. Okay, now I'm stretching this, but listen, in the book of Ephesians, Paul gives us another verse about this, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, what's happening in the book of Ephesians is Paul's talking about the division that's existed between Jew and Gentile. And he said, in Christ, that division has been torn down. He said, the middle wall of partition has been eliminated. And now there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's bond nor free, there's Jew nor Gentile. There's no male or female. We have a new identity. We have a new identity, and that is we are a new, as he says in Ephesians, we are a new humanity. We've been brought together as one new man or new humanity, one translation says. So we are now a new people of God. And we often hold on, and it's fine. You know, I hold on to my heritage, and that's wonderful. I'm raised a certain way, and I appreciate that. I'm a hillbilly by birth, and I appreciate that. And, I'm an American by birth. I was born in the state of Virginia by birth. Hallelujah. The beautiful part of the state that's in the mountains anyhow. But, and all that's great, and I hold on to that. But when I got saved, there was a new identity placed on my life that transcended all of my past. And it was something amazing. And that is, I'm a hillbilly by birth, but I'm a saint in the kingdom of God by way of redemption and by way of sealing. So, listen to this. This church then takes on an identity. We are the people of God, and therefore we aren't just a white church. And we aren't just a black church. And we aren't just a southern church. Or we aren't just this. No, we're the church of Jesus Christ, which means everybody comes and everybody has a part, and we're reaching everybody around the world. We're going out to the world. You know, years ago, church growth teaching taught on the homogeneous principle, they called it, which is you track people like yourself, so the fastest way to grow a church is go get people like you. Well, it works. It really does. However, I'm glad to see we took our staff to an exponential conference last fall, and it was the most cutting-edge church planters in the nation. And I got to hear what they are doing. And when I heard what was happening with these guys, and we went to Washington, D.C., and they're talking about the most cutting-edge things that's going on in church planting, and I was so blessed to hear one guy who came up, and he said, okay, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm glad this homogeneous principle stuff's behind us, because now our churches should look like the kingdom of God. And they should look like the nations. I was like, yes, man, come on. Why? Because that's who we are as a people, right? Okay, so we have a new identity. And I keep thinking, this picture's coming before me as I'm preaching. I got to go to the Holocaust Museum, Yad Vashem, in Jerusalem. Last time we were in Jerusalem. I'd been to the one in D.C. many times. But we went there, and all that's coming to me as a new identity is how the Nazis branded the Jews with this big star, Star of David, so they could be identified in a negative way everywhere they went. But I'm thinking we have a seal upon us that everywhere we go, the spirit realm knows who we are. The spirit realm knows who we are. We are living in a different existence now. I heard a story of a missionary years ago in Haiti. This missionary said he went to Haiti and he encountered a witch doctor. And the witch doctor looked at him and said something, but it was like the witch doctor looked and said, listen, I know you're a Christian, The guy's like, how did you know I was a Christian? He said, because I saw the name of God on your forehead. And somehow the witch doctor saw into the spirit realm. Now, I don't know, but what if the curtains were pulled back and we could see in the spirit? Maybe each of us born again, filled with the spirit, have the name of God on our forehead. I do know this, they were sealed with the seal of God on their forehead in the book of Revelation, and we're born again just like those guys were. So here's the deal, and the consensus of modern scholarship is that that's a symbolic number for the church, but we'll get into that and argue about that on Wednesday night. But nonetheless, you're sealed by the mark of God. So even if we can't see it, the spirits see it. So you walk around Elizabeth City and all... That's good, man. You walk around Elizabeth City and all these demons encounter you and they know right up front who you are. So there's no use in hiding who you are. The devils know who you are and the angels know who you are. God knows who you are. We're just playing games with people down here. Let it be known who you are. I'm a child of God. I'm sealed with the seal of God on my forehead, and that's my new identity. Somebody shout amen. I think we're also sealed for the future. There's a seal for inheritance, right? 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who's also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. As a guarantee or a down payment or a deposit. Or let me use this analogy, and it'll break down somewhere, but I'm going to use it anyhow. It's like a layaway. How many remember layaway? To three older people. Just kidding. Can you still lay away stuff? Okay, you can still? Thank you, thank you. Okay, so you go to Belk. Can you lay away stuff at Belk? No. Well, you can go somewhere and lay away stuff. Roses, Walmart. Okay, you can go and you say, I want to purchase this TV. But I don't have all the money right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a little bit down and you lay it away from me. Then I'm going to pay you every now and then until I pay that thing off. Then when I pay it off, I'm going to come and get it because it's totally mine then. Amen. So Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. And it's like a layaway program. We're His, but we're just separated right now in, you know, but He's coming back one day, and He's going to redeem all that He's laid away. He's already paid for us. It's just a timing issue. He's got to get over here. But if there's He's coming after us, and He's going to redeem us back. So we have now the down payment of the Holy Spirit living in us, which means that it's proof. I'm telling you, man, the Spirit is proof that God is real. When I pray in the Spirit, I know God's still real. And it's proof to me that He's coming again and that I'm going to inherit things that my mind can't even comprehend right now. They're so great and so far beyond me, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of the man. It's the thing that God has prepared for those. Anyhow, we got something for us out there that's so phenomenal and awesome. If it gets better than this, I want to see what it's like, don't you? Because if this is just a drop or just a down payment, can you imagine what it's going to be like when He comes back and gets His church and we're all home with Him? Hallelujah. So we're sealed for inheritance. There's an inheritance waiting on us. Maybe you don't have any rich uncles or rich parents down here to leave you anything, but somebody's left you something so far beyond all of that stuff. It's going to be amazing. We were written into His will. R.W. Shambach preached years ago in a city, and he said he felt the Lord tell him, there's so many people saved through this meeting, that he said he felt the Lord say, now take this building and you buy it. He said, well, I didn't have any money. So he said, I read where Joshua marched around, and God said, I'll give you every place the sole of your foot treads. So he said, I marched around claiming every bit of that as I marched around it. Then he said, I went the next day to see the owner. And I sat down in the owner's office, and he said, I want to buy that building. He said, do you have the money? Shambach said, my father is loaded. My father is absolutely loaded. Miracle happens. They get the building, turn it into a church, and it's just Mark Batterson right now is in a theater in D.C. that was once started with a revival that R.W. Schambach held. It's crazy stuff. So, come on, how many can lift your hand and say, I may not have much, but my father is absolutely loaded. And he set aside an inheritance for me that isn't sitting in a bank rotting away somewhere, or isn't a house that's creaking and getting old, and nobody going to help me right here, or it isn't some clothes that's wearing out, or a car that's going to be an antique in 10 years. No, it's something that rust can't touch, moth can't touch, will not be corrupted, Jesus said, in heaven above. Come on, wave at me. I got an inheritance somewhere. Hallelujah. And the final thing is, and I think this is about the seal, and this is what he's dealing with 144,000. There's an issue of protection with the seal. There's an issue with protection, that God is protecting his people. Now, Revelation chapter 9, verse 4 says, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So when the wrath starts coming down, it's not for the people who have the seal of God, the people of God. It's for the unbelievers. It's for those who are walking in disobedience to God. So there's an issue of protection with a seal. And I begin thinking about this. And I don't understand. We'll understand it better by and by when we get home. But I don't understand why certain things happen to good people. And you know, certain... I was thinking of Vietnam this morning because I had a Vietnam vet on the front row. And I thought, you know, a lot of the guys went to Vietnam. They didn't come home. But a lot of them went there and they had praying mothers and dads. And they had praying churches. And they came home. Brother Howard was on the front row this morning. He's a Vietnam vet. And he said, man, he said, I knew that my mom and dad were praying for me and my church were praying for me in Vietnam. And he said, they even would send me cassette tapes of services where they were praying for me. I watched Ken Burns' recent documentary on PBS on the Vietnam War, and I loved it. I watched every episode, recorded all of them. There's one guy, he's an African-American guy. He was a soldier. He went to Vietnam, and he got in such a bad place. He wrote and he told his mom, he said, Mom, I'm not going to come home. This thing's getting so bad, I'm not coming home. She wrote back to him, said, yes, you are coming home. I'm praying for you, and you will make it. And he made it home. Remember the story in World War II, Schambach. I don't know why I'm thinking of him this morning. He used to tell this story that there was a man, there was a time for the ship to, there was a World War II ship anyhow, and they were getting ready to go through dangerous waters, and they needed somebody to go out and do something that was very dangerous. And anyhow, one young sailor stepped forward, and he said, Captain, I'll do it. He said, but you got to wait to this certain hour. And he said, why do we have to wait? He said, because that's going to be 5 o'clock back home in America. And I know my mama's going to be on her knees, and she's going to be praying, and she's going to be praying for me, and I'm going to be able to do it. Well, he did it and survived. Hallelujah. Listen, if prayer doesn't mean anything, then why are we in church today? Jesus said, ask whatever you will, and I'll do it because I'm going to the Father, and now I'm giving you the authority to be able to pray in my name. If we can't pray for our kids and believe God to protect them, then what are we doing in church or believing the Bible? He gave us that authority. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my strength and he is my refuge. What shall man be able to do to me? He'll make 1,000 fall at my side and 1,000 at this side, and no plague shall come nigh to my dwelling. Come on, we need to claim some of these scriptures in our lives. We've been sealed with the seal of God. Holy Spirit has come. And if you look at it this way, if you believe you're under the seal of God, then your life is not your own. It belongs to the Lord now. And it should take the fear out of us. We ate lunch with Gary Bird. Gary Bird was here Wednesday and really preached a great word. Then we ate lunch with him. You know, he's ridden 500,000 miles on a motorcycle. He's done unbelievable runs, had people try to kill him. The banditos are his friends in Texas. I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy life to listen to. Went to lunch with him, and he said, man, I was riding the Hokahay and riding through Montana on a motorcycle. And he said, have you ever been over Bear Pass, Brother Hans? I said, what is Bear Pass? I said, I've been in Yellowstone, and I was going to Yellowstone Lake in June, and it was 70 when I entered the park, and when I got on that pass at the Continental Divide, it was pouring the snow, and I'd rented a little Kia, and I'm like, I'm turning this thing around and getting back down to the 70 degrees. He said, that's Bear Pass. I said, well, I have been over it. He said, yeah, I slept on the side of the road in a zip-up, like a sleeping bag. And my buddy said, hey, you better watch, man. Look over your shoulder. He looks over there, and he said it was a coyote or a wolf, one or the other. And he said, I panicked. And he said, I couldn't even zip. He said, when you panic, you can't do anything. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, you afraid to die? And he said, I believe God conquered fear of death in my life that day. Man, I heard that. I felt like John Wayne. I just felt like, come on, Clint Eastwood's. But has not God given us the power over the fear? He even said it in Scripture. He gave us the power over the fear of death. And if we're His, we're sealed, we should not be afraid. That's what I'm getting at. We should not be afraid to do what He's called us to do then. What can man do to us? Criticize us? Well, that's already happening. Talk about us? Yeah, they're already talking about you. So what? Go ahead and do what God's called you to do. You got the seal of God on you. And man, that seal means something. Jackie and I used to can a little bit. I grew up with my mom canning. My mom would can green beans every year. And she'd can them in a big crock, pressure cooker. She'd go through the whole process. Then she'd bring those mason jars out and set them on the table. And then we waited on them to seal. You'd hear them pop. And this is good. If they didn't seal, you got to get rid of it. It was no good. But once that seal sunk in, it's preserved, and it tastes just as good in the winter as it did when you first put it in there. I remember a few years ago, somebody told us, said, hey, can corn or put up corn, just cut it straight off the ear. Put it straight in a bag, zip it up, seal it, put it in the freezer. So we did it. We put it in the freezer. Somewhere along in the wintertime, we pulled out that freezer bag, thawed it out, put it in a pot with some butter, cooked that thing, ate into it. You know what it was like? It was like sitting in the summer, like working on that ear of corn. It was that fresh and that good. Why? Because it had been sealed. Some of y'all been serving the Lord for 50 and 60 years, and it's sweeter today than it was the day you got saved. Why? Because you've been sealed, and it gets better every day we go along. Woo! Give Him a shout. Hallelujah. You're protected. The sweetness in you is preserved. Can you say amen? And I'm telling you, some of y'all look mighty fine to me too. Because when you serve God, you look better. I got scripture for it. Praise is comely to the upright. Means praise looks good on you. When you praise the Lord, you kind of... I told you we should sell it as an infomercial on Sunday nights. You know, it's like to look better and have better skin. Just get your praise on. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get your preservation thing going on. And you just look better. You feel better. And all that. Can somebody say amen? So listen, God's called you. He's sealed you. He's ordained you. And now He said, now you go out and you do what I've called you to do, because I'm standing behind you with everything I have. Can somebody shout amen? Okay, I'm going to read this scripture and we're going to pray. This is just, the Bible's just so good. I recommend reading it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So who has all authority? Okay, one more time. He has how much authority?
All.
He didn't say partial power. No, all authority has been given to who?
Jesus.
Now He says this. Okay, let's stop. Therefore, go into make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe or to obey everything I've commanded you. Stop. And the end links with the beginning. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Aeon, age in Greek. I'm with you until time is no more. Come on, Justin. Come out here. You can walk with a guitar. It's like Justin. Let's say all power's been given to him. He the man. Nobody else is the man. He's the man. But he's told me, hey, you come and go for me. So I come and I'm stepping in front of Justin. Now put your hands on my shoulder, bro. And now I'm going, and he's with me everywhere I go. And if anybody comes at me real mean-like, all I'm going to do is like this. All authority is given to him. And he says, now I'm with you, and I'm with you. I can't see him all the time, but I know he's there. Can somebody shout amen? You can't see him all the time, but he's right behind you, and he has all authority and all power. And he said, I've sealed you and I've placed you in this world. Why? Because you're in this world and you're preserved from all the effects of this world. And I placed you here to be salt and light, so you preserve and you keep this world. Believe it or not, it's holding on and things are glued together because the righteous army of God that exists in this world, and I'm keeping you, I'm protecting you, my power is upon you. Now you go forth and don't be afraid. Go do what I'm calling you to do. Can somebody say amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for listening to me.
Thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast today. And I just hope the service was a great encouragement to you, great blessing to your life. I hope you get the chance to join us sometime if you're ever near or in Elizabeth City area, because the atmosphere in this church is just, I mean, it's contagious and it's amazing. I'm constantly amazed at what God does every week in the lives of people. I'm privileged, humbled, honored to be part of it. If you're watching today and there are needs in your life, I want to say a prayer with you and pray with you over those needs. The greatest need that each person has, though, is for God to come into their heart and occupy that void or that vacuum that's in each human person. We were created to commune with God, to have a fellowship and relationship with Him. So if you're not serving the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, and an amazing life change will begin today for you. So if you'd like to pray with me, please just close your eyes. Say these words with me right now. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. I give it all to you today. Take away the guilt, take away the shame, take away the judgment against me. I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Help me now to live the rest of my life as His servant and in fellowship with God. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can all say amen wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, wherever, you can praise the Lord a little bit right there in your own environment. Thanks so much for joining us. And join us on our website. Join us on one of our social media pages. Let us know what's happened to you. We would be so encouraged and blessed to hear. So until next time, God bless.